कृष्णाय भूतले श्रीमाते भक्तिवेदांता स्वामी नित्यनामने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यभारी पश्चात्यातिशतारिणे वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां भवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः आचानुलम्बिता भुजौ कनकतावतौ सङ्कीर्तनायकपितरो कमलायतक्षौ विश्वम्भरो द्विजभरो युगधर्मपालो वन्दे जगत्प्रियकरो करुणावतारो श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनिधानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
मच्छिता सर्वदुर्गाणि मत्प्रसादाथरिष्यसि अथा चेत्त्वम् अहंकारं न श्रोष्यासि विनश्यति। If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. A person in full Krishna consciousness is not unduly anxious to execute the duties of his existence. The foolish cannot understand this great freedom from all anxiety. For one who acts in Krishna consciousness, Lord Krishna becomes the most intimate friend. He always looks after his friend's comfort, and he gives himself to his friend, who is so devotedly engaged, working 24 hours a day to please the Lord. Therefore, no one should be carried away by the false ego of the bodily concept of life. One should not falsely think himself independent of the laws of material nature or free to act. He is already under the strict material laws, but as soon as he acts in Krishna consciousness, he is liberated, free from the material perplexities. One should note very carefully that one who is not active in Krishna consciousness is losing himself in the material whirlpool, the ocean of birth and death. No conditioned soul actually knows what is to be done and what is not to be done. But a person who acts in Krishna consciousness is free to act because everything is prompted by Krishna from within and confirmed by the spiritual master. I would like to humbly thank all of you for sacrificing the very precious moments of your life to come to be with us this evening, to hear and chant the glories of Bhagavan Sri Krishna, and to pursue the ultimate goal of life. Many of you here are involved, perhaps in business or trade
or studies.
And you know that the most essential consideration in managing your life successfully is how to utilize to the maximum benefit each and every moment of your life. The moments are passing. You cannot stop them. Tide and tide, time and tide wait for no man. Bhagavatam says, Ayur Haritivai Pungsang Udyan Astam Chayan Asho, that with every rising and setting of the sun, we are one day closer to death. But those who utilize the precious moments between the sunrise and the sunset for hearing the glories of the Lord, remembering the Lord, and executing His divine will, they are one day closer to eternal life. Nashato vidyate bhavo na bhavo vidyate shata. Krishna explains in Sri Bhagavad Gita that what is true, what is real, is eternal. And whatever has a beginning, a middle, and an end, it is temporary, and therefore it is illusory. It is not reality. The temporary transformations of this world will always be taking place. But we are that eternal soul, part and parcel of Krishna, that is witnessing the phenomena of material existence. And pure consciousness is to understand our eternal pure identity. Krishna explains in Gita, Dehinosmin yatha dehe komanam yobaram jada tatha dehantara praptir dhiras tatra namuyate. That the consciousness, which is the symptom of the presence of the soul within everyone's heart, remains always the same. It is simply covered by different combinations of the three modes of material nature. And therefore, it manifests, the soul manifests its consciousness through various species of life and through various mentalities. Vasamsi janani yatha vihayana vanigranati naroparani tatha saridani vihaya janani anyati samyani navani dehi. That our mental condition and our physical condition are like various dresses that we put on. Sometimes we put a particular type of clothes on and then we take it off. Death to a self-realized soul is nothing more than this: removing one gross body and taking another one. And we are endeavoring with so much determination and faith to try to give pleasure and satisfaction to this body and to this mind. But yet, throughout history, we have never seen a single person satisfied through this endeavor, because it is impossible. Why is it that everyone here tonight and everyone within this entire world, they are all striving for pleasure? They are all laboring to avoid pain and suffering and ultimately death. But yet, no one succeeds. It really makes little difference whether you are educated or uneducated, or rich or poor, or famous or unknown. People suffer. Adiatmaka, Adidaivaka, Adibhautaka. Misery is caused by one's own body and mind, mental frustrations and physical inconveniences such as disease. Sufferings caused by other living beings, and sufferings caused by material natural disturbances, such as too much heat, or too much rain, or earthquakes. All around we see dukalayama shashvatam, so much unhappiness. And yet, everyone, in all species of life, not only as human beings, is simply endeavoring for happiness. Prahlad Maharaj explained in Bhagavad Puran, you want to find happiness? It's actually very easy. There's one formula. Stop trying to find happiness in this world. If you simply stop looking for joy through this body and mind, you'll never have to suffer. But as long as you're seeking the gratification of the mind and senses, you undoubtedly have to succumb to frustration, and then you suffer. Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga shikshashtame ka purusha purana. Therefore, if we really want to find joy, we have to understand what is real detachment. But if the soul is by nature pleasure-seeking, ananda mayobhyashat, then how can we detach ourselves from everything? Everyone knows that simply detachment is not pleasurable. At the most, detachment is just not painful. Pleasure is not something negative. Pleasure is positive. The spirit soul, which is the divine energy of the Lord, part and parcel, will never find real satisfaction simply by negating the sufferings of this world through detachment. Krishna explains in Gita, Thani saravani samyamya yukta asita matpara. Vasehi asyandriyani tasya pragya pratishtita. That those who are really intelligent, they must restrain their senses and mind from the external pleasures of this world and simultaneously completely absorb one's consciousness, attach one's mind to Krishna, to me. The name Krishna means the source of all pleasure, the all-attractive lover of the heart of every living being. Tasmad bharata saravatma bhagavan ishvaro hari srotavyas kirtitavyas ca smaratavyas chechathavayam. Real pleasure is simply in remembering Krishna. And how do we remember Krishna? By hearing his glories, by chanting his holy names, by utilizing the mind and senses that we have now in his loving service. Through this process, we can always remember Krishna. And in remembering Krishna, our consciousness dives into the ocean of pleasure. Everyone is seeking that only. But human society is misguided. Everywhere we go, whatever we see, whoever we hear, they are trying to convince us to look for pleasure through some arrangement of this world. Either having more money, or nicer house, or better car, or better clothes, or having a higher position, or more power and prestige. This is the false propaganda of Maya, the illusory energy. You cannot find happiness
through any of these resources.
You can find a sense of temporary pleasure, which undoubtedly must end in frustration in due course of time. Because the more you enjoy something, the more you become attached to that thing, and the more you become attached to that thing, you suffer when it's taken away, and it will be taken away. Either in this life, through natural phenomena, or ultimately by old age and death. And old age and death come so soon. For those who are very young, you think that I'll be young for so long. Death and old age is so far away. But as you grow old, when you think back of your youth, it seems like not even yesterday. Time goes so fast. Life goes so fast. Vishnu Purana explains, Sahanistan Mahachidram Somohachavibrama Yan Mahuratam Kshanam Vapi Vasudevam Nachindayet. That the greatest tragedy in all of the creation is if a person who attains this rare and valuable human form of life wastes even a single moment without remembering Vasudev, the Lord of our heart and the eternal source of all joy. So we must very carefully utilize our precious moments. Samashitaye padapalavaplavam mahatpadam punya yashomarari Bhavam Buddhir Vatsa Padam 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 Yadvi Padam Natesham. That those who are really understanding what is to be done in this world, they make their only goal in the loving service of the lotus feet of the Lord. They never make any goal in this world, because it is a place where there is danger at every step. And it is a fact. Just last year, not far from here, an earthquake struck. Those tens of thousands of people who we pray for their blessed souls, when they took rest that night, it was just like any other night of their life. They had all their preparations and plans for their next day's activities. The students performed their homework to turn into their teachers the next day. The mothers, maybe they had their rice and dal soaking for breakfast the next morning. And the men, they had all their arrangements made for their next day's work, their schedules, what they had to do. Their clothes were ready for starting a new day. Just like so many hundreds, so many thousands of nights that they had spent, they took rest. No one knew that they would never wake up again. They had no more suspicion than you had last night or you will have tonight. This is the nature of material existence. And you cannot change the nature of material existence. You can understand the real goal of life is to make arrangements for the soul to be reunited with God. And we perform all of our duties with this as the goal in mind. This is the heritage of India. This is the greatness and the glory of this land of India. It is the land of tapasya. Nayam deho deha bhajam daloke kastan kaman arhati vibhujam jay tipo divyam putrika yena satvam sudhedyasyam brahma sokyan tvanantam. Lord Rishabhdev explained to us that you have this rare, valuable human form of life. The soul generally transmigrates to 8,400,000 species before attaining this human form.
Atato brahma jigyasa.
And this human form is only meant for one purpose, to realize Krishna, to be liberated from the cycle of illusion and birth and death, and reestablish our eternal position. Then why you have attained this human life and you are seeking the objects of the senses which are available to the dogs and the hogs? What is the difference? Our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, I remember once he was visiting us, giving us his blessed darshan, and he was explaining the condition of human society. He said the dogs are running on four legs because they want some food. And man is running on four wheels because he wants some money. For what? For eating, for sleeping, for mating and defending. What is the difference in mentality? The hog is eating the rubbish on the road and enjoying it wonderfully. And we are going to nice restaurants or hotels and spending our hard-earned money for some food. What is the difference? Simply eating. And the pigeons, they are enjoying their love life, and we are enjoying our love life. And all the animal species are taking wonderful care of their families according to their capacity. If you look at a bird, a mother bird, when she lays her eggs, she will sacrifice her life to protect those eggs. Even an insect will do the same to protect their young. Simply raising family, simply developing a technology to supply the fulfillments of our animal propensities is not human existence. Human existence begins when we inquire into who we are, what is the purpose of life, who is God, and what is my relationship with God. Tapo divyam putrakayena sattvam. Human life is meant for tapasya. And what is the greatest tapasya? That which brings about the awakening of our ever blissful divine consciousness. It is so wonderful, the opportunity that is at hand. But we must utilize our moments for that purpose. It is explained here in the 18th chapter, text 58 of Bhagavad Gita, that if we become conscious of Krishna, by His grace we pass over all the obstacles of conditional life. And we all know what type of obstacles we have to face each day. But Krishna has revealed through the scriptures, not only in His own words, but so many examples in the lives of His devotees. Bhagavad Gita is Krishna Katha in which Krishna is speaking. It is the word of God. And Srimad Bhagavatam is a most glorious scripture which explains the activities of God in relationship to His devotees. And Srimad Bhagavatam is a continuous narration of how devotees, in the most exemplary and wonderful way, endure and overcome the greatest obstacles in life by remembering Krishna. And remembering faith, be remaining faithful in His loving service. read of Dhruva Maharaj. When he was a lad, a child of only 5 years old, a kshatriya,
he was terribly offended by the sharp words of his stepmother, Suruchi.
You all know how painful it is when you are insulted, especially when it is not even true. Dhruva was insulted to such a terrible and intense degree, he couldn't even live in his father's kingdom anymore. He was trembling. He was outraged. He was suffering. But his mother, she realized that she was helpless to help him in any way. So she explained to him, that only Krishna can save you. The eternal words of the highest wisdom. If only Krishna can save me, where is Krishna? She said, I have heard that great saints and sages, they go to the forest to find Krishna.
Then I will go. Such determination!
He gave up his mother's loving care, his father's kingdom. He gave up living in a beautiful, wonderful palace with so many servants and guardians to go into the jungles where there are wild animals, so many inconveniences, where even to find food. But he understood that without Krishna, nothing could save me, and I will accept no substitute. Krishna is in the heart of every living being. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridaye shayojana tishtati brahmayan sarva bhutanam yantra bhutani mayaya. And Krishna directs the wanderings of every living being in such a way that he will fulfill his desires, or he will reap the results of his destiny. So it is said, by the mercy of Krishna one gets Guru, and by the mercy of Guru one gets Krishna. You do not come in genuine spiritual association by chance or by accident. It is not something that can be attained. It is something that is given by the grace of God. So Narada Muni approached Dhruva Maharaj and told him that if you want to know Krishna, if you want the fulfillment of all your desires, you must constantly chant his holy names. And he gave him that blessed mantra, which was the Mahamantra of the Satya Yuga, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And in order to completely immerse his mind in that sound vibration alone, gradually he stopped eating, he stopped drinking, he even stopped breathing. He was willing to give up everything for self-realization. How much are we determined for that highest goal of life? That is the most important question we must ask ourselves. You see, we should not come to katha, Bhagavad katha, Gita katha, Ramayan katha, simply to enjoy a pious form of entertainment. If that's how you approach, that's all you'll get, is a pious form of entertainment. Ye yatha mam prapadyante tam sthathaiva bhajamyaham
Mama Bharat Maru Bharatante Manusya Bharata Sarabhasha.
As you approach Krishna, he rewards himself accordingly. And Krishna is omnipotent. What does that mean? That means his potency is one in all of his expansions. Krishna is non-different than the teachings of Gita. The sound vibration of the Bhagavad Gita is Krishna. All of his potency and glory is within each sound vibration of the Gita. Similarly, Krishna is non-different than his name. Namachintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Ras Vigraha. All the power and potencies of the Lord are within his name. Krishna's fully manifested in our hearts when we simply remember him. This is the power of God. In this material world, if you are thirsty and you chant the name, water, 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 it doesn't work. You have to find some water. But if you are thirsty for Krishna, and you chant,
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
You can directly experience all the beauty and all the glory of Krishna. Because Krishna is non-different than his name. Also in Srimad Bhagavatam, we find the story of Prahlad. Such obstacles he had to go through in his life. He was thrown into a pit of venomous serpents. He was thrown into blazing fire, thrown off mountains, fed deadly poison, harassed and stabbed by knives and tridents. But the whole while, with humility and faith, he always remembered Krishna by chanting his holy name.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare. Ambarish Maharaj, he was just humbly fasting, trying to purify himself, trying to be charitable to others. He didn't do anything wrong, but Durvas Muni became so angry with him for not properly respecting him that he created a demon made out of fire, fit to destroy the whole universe. And how did Ambarish Maharaj face this great obstacle in life? You have all faced obstacles in your business, in your family, in your health, in your society. But how many have ever faced an obstacle like Ambarish or Prahlad? But with great faith and confidence, he simply remembered Krishna. Now when Krishna personally appeared in this world and was living in Vrindavan, he put his devotees through so many obstacles. At one time they were all just sleeping nicely on the bank of the Jamuna. You know how on nice moonlit nights the stars are shining. And it's just so pleasant to lay in the forest with the sweet aroma of the breeze carrying the fragrance of the flowers. So it was just a wonderful, pleasurable evening for the Brijbasis that night. Let us just sleep here on the bank of the Jamuna. We have our plans to enjoy.
We do not know what will take place. In the middle of the night, a terrible, raging forest fire was surrounding them in all directions. What did they do? They didn't have time to call the fire brigade. They just turned to Krishna. And with hearts full of helpless love and surrender, they remembered him by chanting his holy names. And on another occasion, after Krishna taught the Vrijavasis how to perform the Govardhan Puja, Indra sent the Samvatarka clouds. Those clouds are exclusively sent by Indra for the destruction of the world at the time of Pralaya. These clouds have such potency that within moments, the whole face of the earth becomes one huge ocean. And they were throwing all of their thunderbolts and all of their rain upon Vrindavan. And how did the Vrijavasis face this insurmountable obstacle? They all came before Krishna. In helpless devotion, Krishna, only you can save us. Let us always remember you and chant your holy names. Krishna effortlessly took his wonderful form of Giridhari and lifted the Govardhan hill with the little finger of his left hand. And it served just like a perfect umbrella, where not even a drop of water touched any of the Vrijavasis. So through all the scriptures we find how the Lord's devotees are facing obstacles, great obstacles in life, and how they somehow or other always remember Krishna in that obstacle, and by his grace, they pass over every condition of life. Krishna explains, if, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. What is the meaning of ahankar or false ego? It simply means to forget our true identity. Our true identity is nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahunam yogadadatikam. That we are all part of Krishna. Mamayavam so jiva loke jiva bhuta shanatim. And we are all eternally subordinate to Krishna. We are helplessly depending on Krishna at every moment. If Krishna did not give us the air, every one of us would die within moments right here. And man cannot create air. Man has become expert at polluting air. In fact, man has become expert at polluting all the gifts that God has given us for a happy, blissful existence in this world. He gives us water, which is an absolute necessity of life, and we are polluting it, and polluting the air, polluting everything. Why? Because of false ego. Because we are not willing to accept that our eternal constitutional position is to serve Krishna, to love Krishna, to always endeavor to please Krishna, and to always remember Krishna. And as soon as we think we are this body, we are these senses, we are this mind, and I am the enjoyer, and I am the controller, then all the miseries of material existence follow. And Krishna says, by not hearing me and perceiving life not through my words, but through your own conceptions and your own ego, you will be lost. What does it mean that we will be lost? It means we lose our eternal, we lose consciousness of our eternal identity. And the ultimate ecstasy that is waiting for us within our own hearts. So the obstacles that come before us in this world, they have been created by the Supreme Lord to help us to more intensely purify our lives. So we should welcome them. And whether you welcome them or not, you will be forced by the laws of nature to face so many obstacles in life. What is the difference between a devotee and a materialistic person? Not necessarily that one faces obstacles and one doesn't, or that one suffers and one doesn't. The difference is in bearing the sufferings and obstacles of this world. A materialist is simply implicating himself and incriminating himself in more future sufferings. And a devotee in every situation of life, happiness, distress, honor, dishonor, pleasure, pain, success or failure, a devotee turns to Krishna. And in turning to Krishna, in remembering Krishna, Queen Kunti said, we never have to see the face of death again. We come closer to the eternal truth and the pleasure that every living being is seeking. So whatever we do, Krishna explains in Gita, we should do it in this divine consciousness. Yad karoshi yad ashnasi yad duhoshi tapasya. And how to do everything in this divine consciousness? It is actually very simple. We have to associate with people who are striving for that consciousness. And as far as possible in our own social lives, we have to avoid the association of those people who are living contrary to this consciousness. Which means we must regularly come to the satsang, where sincere, honest people are coming together to hear the glories of the Lord and to chant His holy names. Krishna explains in Gita, evam parampara praptam idam rajashaya vidu, that if you want to really receive Krishna's mercy, we must hear from those who are humbly serving the previous acharyas and delivering the message. Sanatan Dharma, real religion, cannot be created within our minds or interpreted with our own intelligence. When we come in the association of such people who are receiving and living by the simple message of devotion to God, it makes our spiritual life easy, but it must be done regularly. Because what you associate with, you become like that. The Prabhupada used to say, if you put an iron rod in fire, it becomes hot like fire. If you put an iron rod in ice, it becomes cold as ice. So many wonderful arrangements they have made tonight. You should just take them all away. Adiós.
in material existence, at any moment things fall down. It's confirmation of what we're saying. We work so hard, these things are falling and breaking. Nobody plans these things. But it's the nature of this world. Of course, with some intelligent management, it can be avoided to some extent. But not for very long. And by living a pure life, according to the Gita, according to the Bhagavatam, if we want to cultivate our spiritual sentiments, we have to avoid those activities which further pollute our consciousness. And the most severe of all activities that are contrary to any spiritual development is intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, and cruelty toward others, which includes eating of meat. If we just live a pious and pure life by following these four principles, associate with wonderful devotees, come together with them, hear the glories of the Lord, share your lives with pure people, and chant the holy names of the Lord. Spiritual life becomes easy. Not only easy, but joyful. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who according to the Srimad Bhagavat, the Mahabharat, and various other scriptures, they prophesize Krishna Varnam Tvasa Krishnam Sango Panga Shaparasha. That the Yuga Avatar, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, will establish the Yuga Dharma, the simple sublime process of how anyone and everyone can perfect their lives in a blissful spiritual consciousness in this age of Kali Yuga. It is said that Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. Kalera dosa nidei rajan asti heka mahan guna kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sanga param brajait. People are so spiritually lazy. They are so inclined toward material life. There's so much pollution in the minds. And there's so much rampant materialism and sense gratification all around us. But Kali Yuga, there's one benediction. That simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, we can attain the supreme perfection of liberation. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us this process. How we can all perfect our lives and we can be blissful and joyful in any situation by just keeping the association of pious and pure-hearted devotees, by coming together with them regularly and enjoying the beautiful Sankirtan of the holy name. And one who humbly chants the holy name of the Lord and who offers his life under any condition with humble devotion, that person achieves the ultimate perfection of life. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in Navadvip, so many devotees and so many, everybody, he was just giving love of Krishna to freely. If they just reciprocated a little with him by humbly serving the devotees and chanting the holy names. There was one native of Navadvip who was so extremely pure He was pure and poor. Those words are very similar. Pure and poor. He was actually poverty stricken. He had nothing. In fact, he was a beggar. Here in Bombay, you know, whether you walk or whether you drive, so many beggars come. And you know how most people treat beggars. They treat them like useless. They don't even treat them like human beings. That is part of the life of a beggar. This particular devotee was a beggar. His name was Shuklambar Brahmachari. And he had torn, tattered clothes. He really had nothing. But he had a little cloth bag, an old, tattered cloth bag. And he would wear it around his shoulder. And every morning he would go out door to door to beg. He would go to every single house. Didn't matter who it was. He'd go to the rich people. He'd go to the middle class. And he would even go to the places where people were in great poverty and go to each of their little torn up huts. And he would beg for something, for some food. But as he'd be going door to door begging, he was constantly chanting the holy name of Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And tears of love would be flowing from his beautiful eyes. And at the end of the day, whatever little he collected, in which he had to bear so many insults and so many misuses, he would take that and he would offer it to Krishna with great love and devotion. And then he would take that prasad to maintain his life. So one day, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he was having wonderful kirtan in the house of Srivas. And he was fulfilling devotees' desires. So Shuklambar Brahmachari, he was there. And as everyone was very joyfully dancing and chanting the holy names, Shuklambar Brahmachari also, he began to dance so blissfully. He was just dancing, so carefree. He was just so joyful. And everyone was just watching him with great wonder. Here was a man who was living in such poverty, but he never experienced the chills or the pains of poverty. Never. Not even once in his mind or his body. Why? Because he wasn't looking for pleasure through his mind or body. He was looking for pleasure in Krishna. So he was always finding the ultimate ecstasy of life in chanting Krishna's holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So on this particular day, he was so happy. We find big chairmen of massive corporations, kings, prime ministers, congressmen, MPs, big powerful people, rich people, gangsters. There are so many things like this. Are they blissful? Are they dancing in ecstasy? Most of the time, they're miserably trying to figure out all the complications that they've created in their own lives. Rio! But it doesn't mean you cannot be a big chairman of a corporation or an industrialist or a politician. You can be any of these things. Arjuna was a warrior. The most unlikely profession to be a saintly person. And he was thinking, I should give up my duty and live a peaceful life. And Krishna told him, no, you must perform your duty. But you don't just perform it, you do it in divine consciousness. There is a misconception, all pervading in this great land of India, where people think that Bhagavad Gita's conclusion is you just do your work without attachment. You just do your work honestly, and that is Sanatana Dharma. Nowhere do we find such a philosophy. In fact, Krishna says, Jagyaratat kamanon yatra lokomam karma bandana taratam karma kunteya mukta sangha samachara. Work done should be a sacrifice to the Lord. If it's done for any other reason, however honest and well it is only a cause of bondage. Because there's something called honor amongst thieves. Everything belongs to Krishna, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Unless you're doing everything in respect to Krishna's service, you're a thief. Thieves could come together and be honest amongst each other, but they still have the money that they've robbed from the bank. And when the policemen come in and say, you are arrested, they say, no, no, we are dividing it honestly amongst ourselves. They will say, it is not yours to honestly divide, it is the bank's. Everything is the property of Krishna. We could make all our moral laws in this world and live by them. And certainly that's good from the point of view of you will not have too much material suffering, as if you're dishonest. But in the ultimate truth, unless we are offering everything through our consciousness in harmony and devotion to God, it's all stealing, everything we do. Even if we have high and big position, if we have divine consciousness, the consciousness that is taught to us in the Bhagavad Gita, we could live in this world like a lotus flower in a muddy pond of water. We are not touched by the dirt. We can be ever blissful. Whether we're a beggar in the street or whether we're a king in a palace, it makes no difference. It is a question of our consciousness. Real wealth is in remembrance of God and pure devotion, bhakti. The wealth of this world is an illusion. If you have bhakti, you use your wealth for good purpose, for God's service, and you'll be blissful. If you have nothing, if you have that bhakti, you will be blissful. You have everything. So Suklambar Brahmachari, he had nothing. Nobody in Navadvip even recognized him as being a saintly person, except a few rare souls. They just thought he was a beggar. But yet he was dancing so blissfully while everyone was chanting the holy names. And Lord Chaitanya, he called him over. And when Shuklambar Brahmachari came before Lord Chaitanya, he said that you are my servant. Birth after birth, you have come before me as a beggar. Previously, you took the form of Sudama and you visited me in Dwarka. At that time, you were emaciated due to starvation. You had nothing, but I forcibly stole from you that little packet of chipped rice and I ate it with great pleasure. My great pleasure
is to simply take whatever offering that you have for me. Then Lord Chaitanya forcibly reached in Shuklambar Brahmachari's torn up cloth bag, and he took handfuls of husked rice, dirty rice with all chips and husks on it. What a beggar would get. Usually people don't give beggars the best they have. They give them what they don't want. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to eat those chips of husked rice. And as he was chewing on it, he was feeling great ecstasy. And Shuklambar Brahmachari said, "My dear Lord, please do not eat this. This is not fit for you. This rice still has its shells and all little chips all over." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied as he was smiling, chewing the rice. He said, "Taking the husked, chipped rice of my devotee tastes like the sweetest nectar to me. But I will never accept even nectar from someone who has no devotion." In his previous incarnation, he accepted simple bananas from the house of Vidura, but he rejected the wonderful feast of Duryodhana because he had no devotion. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. Whatever we offer with Krishna, even if it be a leaf, a flower, a little water, if it is offered with devotion, he will accept it with great pleasure. And if you water the root of the tree, the whole tree is satisfied. Krishna says in Gita, "Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita." That I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly, they will worship me with all their hearts. If you water the root of the tree, every part is satisfied. If we please Krishna, our life is perfect. That is all that is required. Lord Chaitanya was pleased because Shuklambar Brahmachari, he was giving him every day in his offering the broken pieces of rice, which is all he had. And when the devotees saw this and heard the words of Lord Chaitanya, they all began to weep and cry and roll in the ground in great pleasure. Never have we seen the Lord show such intimate and sweet mercy to anyone. You know, according to the Shastras, if you want to offer something to God, you have to chant all sorts of mantras and mudras. Otherwise, the Lord does not accept. But all these rituals are really meant for those who have little or no devotion. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through this wonderful incident, showed that for those who have pure devotion, they transcend all rules and regulations as far as the rituals of the Vedas. They have understood the essence to offer with love. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in exchange for these broken pieces of poor man's rice, he offered Shuklambar Brahmachari a benediction. He said, "Today I grant you eternal loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki! This is divine consciousness. To always remember Krishna. And whether we're of one occupation as a housewife or a husband, doesn't matter. Perform your work in this divine consciousness. associate with devotees, live a pure life, and chant the holy names. After Lord Chaitanya gave this benediction to Suklambar Brahmachari, all the devotees became so happy, they began to jump joyfully, raising their arms and very loudly, having nice kirtan, chanting the holy names. The holy name is the most powerful and wonderful of all medicines if we take it regularly. And all of the anartas, all of the unwanted desires of the heart are removed. Cheto darpana marajanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam sreya kairava chandrakavataranam vijavadhu jivanam Anandam budivardhanam pratipadam punam ratashvadanam sarvatmasna paramparam vijayate sri krishna sankirtanam. All the desires of our heart are completely fulfilled through the process of developing love of God by the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. In this age of Kali, there is no other ritual, there is no other sacrifice, there is no other religious process necessary. Simply humble service to the Lord and His devotees and the chanting of the holy names. So let us take this wonderful opportunity. And it's the chanting of the names in Sankirtan. It's so unifying. Most families, how often do they really enjoy doing something together? This is something of past ages. Now everybody's so engrossed with their televisions, they don't even interact. They all have their own ideas, they all have their own friends. But if you look around tonight, you see the husband, you see the wife, you see sometimes the grandparents, you see the children of all ages, teenagers, little boys and little girls, and they're all smiling, waiting for the beautiful kirtan where they could chant and dance together. People of all castes, people of all nationalities, people of all income categories, people of all ages, of all educational qualifications, all these egoistic designations dissolve when we raise our arms and loudly chant the holy names. By the chanting of Krishna's name, our own heart and soul is unified with Krishna. And our family, as we chant together, our whole family is ecstatically, blissfully united. The whole society and the whole world, the only true hope of unity is when we all come together to chant the holy names. Thank you very much.